Well, welcome to the second week of our abundance program that we are doing. And that program is based on the book, The Five Gifts for Abundant Living by Diane Harmony. And if you have not been here, we actually ordered books and we have a book to gift to you. So make sure that you pick it up before you leave today. And if you'd like, then you can follow along and read with the talks that are going on for the next 3 weeks after this. And so I'm going to start out by just saying that abundance, living a life of abundance, experiencing abundance means any kind of good that we desire. It could be an abundance of friends, an abundance of love, an abundance of opportunities, an abundance of money, an abundance of creative ideas, an abundance of joy. Whatever it is that makes life feel fulfilling and satisfying to you, abundance is about living in the experience of plenty around those things. Having the experience of plenty around all of those things that you deem important and satisfying to you. So it's having enough of those things and living in that plenty. And so this week we are looking at chapters 3 and 4 in Diane Harmony's book, and they are about setting intentions and manifesting your intentions. And so the way to live a fulfilling life and to feel deeply satisfied begins with simply being clear about what it is that we want. Clear about what it is that we want to have, what it is that we want to experience, who it is that we want to be. And so Diane Harmony in that book says that those dreams that we have, those heartfelt longings, show up in us through our imagination and through our inspiration, but she says those are divine ideas basically downloading themselves into us. So another way of saying that, a way that I might word that, is that those dreams and heartfelt longings that we have to be, to do, to have something are the call of our spirit. They are the call of our spirit to experience the more. The more with a capital M. They are a soul or a spiritual calling to experience the greater to be, to experience the boundlessness that we live in, to experience the truth that we live in this kingdom now, and to experience that same thing, that same boundlessness lives within us. So those longings and those dreams are our spirit calling us to know that and to experience that. And so they are a call to step out of what we've already known, what we've already thought, what we've already experienced, who we've already been, into something greater, into our own greatness, into our own expansive way of living. They are a call from our spirit to experience reality with a capital R. And so it's kind of like if you think about a crab with its need to outgrow its shell, it must outgrow that shell. And so it sheds that old one and grows a new one because it needs a larger home to fit into. And so we have this soul calling, this spiritual calling, to create a larger home for ourselves. And that home is our life experience. We have this longing to have a larger life experience than what we've had. And so because we are human beings, spiritual beings, having a human experience here, living in this human realm, incarnated in this physical world, we have this longing to experience that which our soul knows, that boundlessness, that infinite potential, that good, our own power. We have a yearning to experience that in a physical way because we're here living this physical life. And so every single one of us has dreams. We have dreams and we have longings and deep spiritual and heartfelt yearnings. We have desires of experiences that we'd like to have and things that we'd like to do and places that we'd like to go and ways that we'd like to be. All of those things are a soul calling. All of those things are life calling us into an expanded experience. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, "The desire arises out of the necessity for the universe to become self-expressed." The desire, our desires, come out of the necessity for the universe to become self-expressed through us and through our lives. And so that yearning of the universe to become self-expressed is one and the same as the yearning that we have inside of us to self-express, to express something greater, to experience something greater. It's one and the same. It's the same thing. It's just looking at it from two different vantage points. And it's the same thing because we, each and every single one of us, are individuations of life. We are each individuations of that boundlessness of the divine, individuations of beingness itself. And so another thing is, beneath every single one of those dreams and longings that we have to do something or to go somewhere, to have something, there is a spiritual longing that is kind of beneath it or inside of it. And so let me give you some examples. So the desire to have a relationship holds within it, underneath it, behind it, the desire to experience love. The desire to experience ourselves giving love, being love. It holds within it the desire to know that we are lovable and that we are cherished and that we are enough. Perhaps the desire to drive a BMW holds within it the desire to experience the opulence of this universe, or to experience beauty, to experience yourself being in that and immersed in that, to experience the truth that we live in this infinite creativity and this boundlessness. You have that experience by driving that car and being in that car. My desire to spend time in nature, I know, is born out of and holds within it the desire to feel my connection with the whole, to experience that oneness with life. My desire to be a minister isn't to have this title and to stand up here. My desire to be a minister is to share what I have discovered as the truth with you to make your life better, like remembering that truth makes my life better. And by being a minister, I'm forced every single week to remember that truth. And as a result, my life is better. And as a result of me sharing it, your life gets better. And so Eric Butterworth says, "A true desire is not to have, but to be. We are whole creatures in potential. And the true purpose of desire is to unfold that wholeness, to become what we can be." So every single one of those new experiences opens us up and expands us to step more into who we can be through each one of those things. That is the spiritual longing, to be who we can be. And so Diane Harmony talks about the place that we begin then is by dreaming about where we want to go and what it is that we want to do and what we want to have. Because that dream is soul speak. That dream is this call of our spirit. And then the second thing that we have to do after we dream is we have to get clear about what it is exactly that we want. We name it. We get clear about it because naming it makes it so the law can act on something clear, because our nebulous thinking, are not quite sure about what we want, the law responds by not really giving us much of anything but being nebulous in return. It's kind of like you have to decide that you want to go to New York City before you get in the car and start driving. Otherwise, you may end up in San Diego or Tennessee or something. You have to be clear before you start where it is that you want to go. And so the title of my talk today is Eye on the Prize. And I'm talking about that. I'm talking about keeping our eye on the goal, on what it is that we want to do, because that then, it's like looking at the target. You have to look at the target in order to hit the bullseye. If you're looking somewhere else, you're never going to hit that bullseye. And so we get clear about what it is that we want, and then we set an intention to get there. and holding the intention, I'm going to arrive at, say, becoming a minister, that becomes the roadmap then that takes us to that destination, holding on to that intention of the destination of where we want to arrive. And then the law of the universe, the law of mind, the law of correspondence, the law of attraction responds to that clear intention that we hold by orchestrating things in this universe, by orchestrating things in this material world. And that shows up as things like perfect timing, about meeting people that we never thought that we'd meet that have a perfect piece to fit into the puzzle about where we're going. It shows up as coincidences. It shows up as creative ideas. It shows up as opportunities that we didn't even know that we might need in order to get where we're going. Holding the intention allows the universe to orchestrate the pieces to help us arrive there. And so I think about my own life and going to ministerial school. It was something like 15 years ago, I'm not sure now, that I was at an ordination, and the ministers came filing in their robes, and something inside of me happened that I knew that's where I was meant to be. That is what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm supposed to be in my life. And 3 months before that, they just implemented a new rule that you had to get a bachelor's degree in order to go to ministerial school. And I had not gone to college. I had no intention of going to college and getting a bachelor's degree. But because that was my goal, that's what I had to do. And you know what? Going to college and getting my bachelor's degree changed my life so much, and it is one of the best things I have ever done in my life. And not only is it one of the best things that I've ever done in my life, but it makes me such a better minister. Because I have a bigger, greater understanding about life and about people and about why we do the things that we want to do and about groups and about cultures and about ethnicity, all sorts of things, psychology of people. I have this huge, broad understanding that I never would have had I just taken that straightforward path going to ministerial school. That's letting the universe orchestrate the pieces that need to fall in place to arrive at your destination. And so then, the difference between a goal and intention is the goal has all the pieces in place. I'm going to do this and this and this in order to arrive at my destination. It's the 5-year plan or the 1-year plan or the 3-month plan. It has all of those pieces. And so Diane Harmony talks about that as attachments. The goal has an attachment as to when and how and where and each step that you take along the way. The intention, on the other hand, just holds the destination in mind with an openness to all the pieces coming forward, with an openness as to how it shows up. And it's not that there's anything wrong with goal setting. There is nothing wrong with goal setting, and there's nothing wrong with putting all those steps in place. Goal setting is very effective to arrive at where you want to go. The only problem is when we hold rigidly to that plan, because when we hold rigidly to the A, B, C, D, it doesn't leave room for the wisdom and the intelligence of the universe to play a part in our reaching our destination in a grand way. It closes us off to any other possibility than what we already have if we hold tight to that plan. And so then intending is the what. It's the what we want to have. Open to that creativity and that intelligence of the how and ways and people and ideas and pieces falling into place to allow that to happen. So perhaps you have an intention to go to Hawaii. That might show up as winning tickets on the radio to go to Hawaii. I have a friend that happened for. She had the intention to go to Hawaii, and she won tickets on K-Earth 101, 2 tickets to go to Hawaii, and her hotel paid for. It shows up as desiring and intending to have a relationship with a partner who is a perfect match. And that person, instead of showing up on match.com and pursuing it, showing up on the bus bench sitting next to you while you're waiting for the bus. Or in the chair next to you at the airport or sitting next to you on an airplane. It shows up in miraculous ways that we might not be able to plan on our own. So it's being open to that, knowing the whole while that you are moving towards your intention. And so intending then is holding that goal, the goal in your mind, trusting the universe to orchestrate pieces of it to come into your life, and then taking the steps that present themselves in order for you to arrive at the goal. It doesn't mean you sit on your couch and do nothing. You still have to take the steps. You still have to do what is yours to do, but it's doing it with a posture of openness and of receptivity and of flexibility and of willingness. Because perhaps on your way to New York, you need to drive through New Orleans because there's something that you need to take from there to go to your trip to New Orleans. It allows for what seems like detours, but they're not really detours. They're parts of the path that are taking you there. And so intention with detachment is what she talks about in this book. That means detaching from forcing things to happen in the way that you want them to happen. It means detaching from struggling against the way things are. It means detaching from your fear and your concern and your worry that it might not happen. Detaching from the when. Detaching from controlling all the pieces of it. Instead, we stand in that posture of trusting, a posture of faith, a posture of focused on the goal and open. And we still take the steps to get there and to do what we need to do. We just trust the universe to assist us in getting there. And so in class, we were talking about this and some confusion. So detaching, does that mean I don't do anything? I just sit and wait? And Marisha had this fabulous way that she sees it. She says, I see that with detachment kind of like playing a baseball game. I'm in the outfield, and it means that I play, and I do my best, and I do what I need to do, but I have my eyes open because the ball could come from any direction. So I'm open to catch it wherever it might come from. That's going towards our goal with a sense of detachment. And so the key, and so let's see. Oh, so instead, what happens then is we reach our goal not just by ego means, but we reach our goal by aligning with the power and the intelligence and the creativity of the universe in order to reach that goal. We allow it to play its part. And so here's the big key for me. The big key is, if our desires and our heartfelt longings, those deep soul longings, come out of the necessity of the universe to become self-expressed, if those desires come out of a need of ourself to experience life in a greater way, you see, those two are the same thing. And if everything and everyone and all of it is a part of the divine, a part of what Ernest Holmes calls mind, if all of that is mind unfolding, then inherent in that desire is the means to achieve it. Inherent in that desire is every single piece that needs to fall into place. It's already contained in that mind, which is what we're living in and what is living within us. Our job is to be open. Our job is to set the intention and be open and then take the steps as they present themselves. Our job is to do things to create ourselves, create an opening in ourselves, like visualizing it, seeing it and feeling it and seeing ourselves doing it and what it will feel like when we're there. It's about trusting and holding that vision while we take those steps. And so the problem often is that we get focused on the barriers to our goal. And then when we're focused on the barriers, we get afraid. Another one of the problems is sometimes we tell people about our dreams too early, and then people poo-poo them. And in this book, she talks about both of those things and suggests that you hold your dreams tenderly inside of you like you would planting a seed and let it grow and let it get stronger and bigger before sharing it. I say you can share those dreams with people who you know support you, but don't share those dreams with people who aren't going to support you. You could share those dreams with anyone in this room, and they would support you in achieving them. She also talks about instead of focusing on the barriers, is all we have to do is stay focused on the intention instead. Take your attention off the barrier, onto the intention, and know that it's possible. And so there's a story about Winston Churchill doing a commencement address at Oxford, and it goes like this. Sir Winston Churchill took 3 years getting through the eighth grade because he had trouble learning English. It seems ironic that years later, Oxford University would ask him to address its commencement exercises. He arrived with his usual props. Whoa, it's raining in here. He arrived with his usual props, a cigar, a cane, and a top hat accompanied Churchill wherever he went. As Churchill approached the podium, the crowd rose in appreciative applause. Removing the cigar and carefully placing the hat on the top of the podium, Churchill gazed at his waiting audience. Authority rang in Churchill's voice as he shouted, "Never give up." Several seconds passed before he rose to his toes and repeated, "Never give up." His words thundered in their ears. There was deafening silence as Churchill reached for his hat and cigar, steadied himself with his cane, and then left the platform. His commencement address was finished. Never give up. Stay focused on your goal. That's what is yours to do. And Pope John Paul XIII has the same exact thing to say in different words. He says, "Consult not your fears, but your hopes and dreams. Think not about your frustrations, but about your unfulfilled potential. Concern yourself not with what you tried and failed, but with what is still possible for you to do." Focus on that. And so my intention is to create peace. My intention is to live an abundant life, to live a life that is abundant with love and with joy and with fun and with money and with opportunities and with a sense of deep spiritual understanding and deep spirituality. My intention is to assist you in discovering that and in living your best life and in having a better life than your life was when you arrived coming to this center. And so what is your intention? What are your heartfelt longings? What is it that you want to do or to be or to have? What is your intention? Can you think of one? Can you think of something that you want to have? Intend that. And so my recap is dream and then get clear about what it is that you want. And then set your intention. Write it down. If you write it down, you're so much more apt to reach it because you don't lose track of it. You're able to stay focused on it. And then trust the universe to assist you in the how, in bringing the pieces together, remembering all the while that the universe wants you to have your greatest life experience. The universe wants you to be your greatest expression that you could possibly be. And remember that that one presence, that one power, that one life is desiring by means of you. Desiring to express in a greater way by means of you. And then do what it takes. Take the steps. And as a result, you'll be manifesting your greatest life, living your greatest life, and living a life that is most fulfilling and satisfying to you. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of unfolding, on this path of unfolding your greatest self and being all that you've came here to be and living a life of abundance. Blessings to all of you. Karen, you want to come pray with me? Reverend Karen's going to come join me in a prayer. So I invite you to join us in an affirmative prayer. And you want to start?
Certainly. Okay. What a joyous morning and message. Let's join together in that. And that perfect life, that perfect love, that perfect presence that is right here and right now in this room. Knowing that right here and right now in this moment, the only moment there is, we know and declare that that one presence is absolutely living, moving, and breathing life, love, peace, abundance, in, through, and as all of life. And we, each one of us, are its expression. Unique, beautiful, and absolutely perfect in expression. And what I know and declare is that, oh, we are receptive. We are absolutely receptive to that divine idea that Reverend Jennifer has spoke about this morning. As we get clear with our intentions, I declare for each one of us that we keep our eye focused on the prize with grace, with ease. We just simply know in our hearts with great conviction that our intention is right there, ready to be met. And that as we simply allow, surrender, and detach, we know that the law is absolutely doing its work. And all we have to do is stay focused on our intention. Such ease, such grace. And I simply pass.
And so I recognize that fullness of the presence of God that is right here, that infinite creativity, that absolute perfection, that good without bound, that this is the nature of the divine, and this is the nature of this life that we are living. For we are living that one and only life that there is to live, and it is living itself out within us and through us and as us. And so I recognize that, yes, indeed, we are already in this kingdom of opulence, this kingdom of boundless good, this kingdom of abundance of every kind of good that we could possibly imagine. For this is the very essence of life. This is the essence of that most holy principle that is right here where we are. And so I know today that, yes, indeed, as we get clear about what it is that we want, what it is that we desire, the entire universe comes rushing in to meet that need, that it guides us and it directs us and it leads us in ways that we may not even know of that lead us to that prize. That heartfelt longing is spirit speaking within our hearts and our souls to be what we've come here to be, to do what we've come here to do, to be that greatest expression of life, of self, of who we are. And so I know that our paths are already blessed. And so today we say yes to our dreams and our desires, yes to moving forward towards them. And the universe and the law responds with a resounding yes to carry us towards them. And so it is with a grateful heart for this magnificent life that we are living, for this magnificence that is unfolding itself as our life, that I release this prayer in absolute gratitude, and I say, and so it is. Amen.
So it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.